Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here. We got a fun one today. Today, we're going to go over some potential surprise cuts that could happen at the end of training camp and preseason. And as we get ready for the season, as they make those 53-man roster cutdowns. And I'm also going to be going over some interesting, unique, and completely off-the-wall trade ideas. It's going to be fun. Buckle in. I promise you, you're going to be offended, and it's going to be awesome. Let's get into it. Before we start, shout out to our all-new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Cullen P., Noah Choi, My Endless Void, Anton Wagner, DeSera Ferdinandi, and The Asset 150. Thank you guys so much for signing up to become Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships or members. If you haven't looked into those memberships yet, make sure to do so. You can find them over on the YouTube channel. No news or notes really from Friday. I was kind of just slightly wondering if week before minicamp, if maybe we would get some sort of Friday news dump in regards to maybe a Jaire Alexander situation or something like that. No, of course not. This thing is just going to drag on through the abyss until the end of time is basically what it seems like at this point. So no news on anything specifically from a Jaire Alexander standpoint. We'll see if that changes next week. As of right now, minicamp is set to be open to the media Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday next week. I can almost guarantee you that Thursday will be a team building activity and will be canceled, but that has not been stated as of yet. So as of now, I would expect Tuesday and Wednesday to be the only ones, but there is a slight possibility that we could be out at practice on Thursday. And then that basically does it until training camp. We will get through Thursday or even potentially Wednesday of this week with a practice. And then we've got about 6 weeks until training camp kicks off. And then, of course, we're warp speed ahead from that point up until basically this point a year from now is when these things, this is really kind of the only true downtime of the year. But we've still got some time before that. Again, we do have mini camp coming up this week, which I'm very much looking forward to. And we'll, of course, break it all down for you right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. But before we get into our unique and crazy and wild trades, the first thing that I wanted to look at was which players could potentially be surprise cuts as we get to the end of training camp. And there always seems to be somebody in the conversation. The one that was still, I think, one of the more shocking ones was Josh Sitton. I don't think there's going to be anything quite like that. Every once in a while, like Kamal Martin or someone like that will just kind of shock you a little bit. But yeah, for the most part, it's more of like an Anthony Johnson Jr. like last year, but there's usually somebody in the conversation or somebody as you get down to those final cutdown days, you're wondering like, could they cut this guy? So I just wanted to look at it in advance. Some of these might not be super surprising. Some of them might be, but let's just kind of go over them one by one. I don't see anything at quarterback that could potentially be a surprise cut. I mean, you're not cutting Jordan. You're not cutting Malik Willis. Anything else wouldn't be stunning. So there's nothing there. Running back, I'm not sure, again, anything could elevate to the level of surprise. I do think Emmanuel Wilson would be, again, it's hard to say surprise because you could easily get to a situation in which you're just looking at, you know, three running backs and then it comes down to Christopher Brooks or Chris Brooks and Emmanuel Wilson. And if that's the case, I think either of those guys could win that battle and or lose that battle. So I do think Emmanuel Wilson, just based on how he's sort of come into his own and really begun to get better and better and better when it comes from a pass protection standpoint and catching the ball to the backfield, he's been a good runner since day one. He's continued to develop. They found this guy. He's still super cheap. I still think there's a really good chance that he makes this team. But if there's a quote unquote surprise cut at running back, to me, it would probably be the closest thing would be Emmanuel Wilson. Wide receiver, I've talked about, so I don't want to go into this one a ton, but my surprise here would be if they only kept five wide receivers. Any individual here of Mecole Hardman, Bo Melton, or Malik Heath would not be surprising in and of itself. I can't find a way that you could tell me that they traded one of the top five. They're certainly not trading or cutting Savion Williams or Matthew Golden. They just got those guys. They're certainly not cutting Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, or Romeo Doubs. You could convince me of a trade maybe for Doubs or maybe even Dontayvion Wicks, but they're not cutting any of those five guys. And as mentioned, Hardman, Melton, or Heath, any of them individually is not surprising. At most, you probably keep one of those three. But what I have proposed is just if you like all three of them, you could probably cut all three of them. And that might sound counterintuitive, but if you like all three, the odds that all three get claimed are pretty slim. And all you need is one back on the practice squad, probably to get you through. You can use the three call-ups if you need them. Heck, the other five are probably good if healthy, just to make it through. Again, if healthy, as long as you need them, if one player does go down, you can call that one player up for a few weeks and then kind of go from there or activate them to the roster at some point if you need to. And then, of course, you've got Christian Watson coming back at some point as well. So I think the odds that Hardman, Melton, and Heath would all go elsewhere after releasing all three of them are exceptionally slim. And even if they did, I don't know that you're like losing a ton of sleep over it. You can probably find another receiver or two to put on your practice squad that you could call up in a pinch, you know, or nightmare situation if a couple of injuries happened. But that would be the surprise or semi-surprising thing to me, would be not necessarily cutting Hardman or Melton or Heath, but cutting all three of them collectively, trying to get one, two, or maybe even three of those guys back on the practice squad. I don't think there's anything along the offensive line. Could like a Jacob Monk, you know, just find himself on, you know, the other side of things where there's just enough offensive linemen to keep. You've got the seven clear and obvious ones. And then could it be like Glover, Telfort, and John Williams or something to that extent? Sure. You know, that's within the realm of possibility. And maybe Monk could be on the way out in that situation. I don't think anything outside of the top seven would get itself into the quote unquote shocking stage. If there is one, it's probably Jacob Monk. And yeah, I do think he's going to have to earn his roster spot. He's off to a great start already, getting some of the reps with the ones and OTAs. It doesn't mean a ton. I don't think they've wanted to rotate a bunch of guys around at this point while they're waiting for Elgton Jenkins to come back. We'll maybe get a better look at it in mini camp and then from training camp on that side of things. But for now, it's still for him, you know, valuable reps with the ones. And I think he's got a great chance to make the team. But if there is a slightly surprising one, it could potentially be Jacob Monk. I don't think there's anything. I won't say that. Let's start on the interior of the defensive line. I really loved, and you guys, I think, know this by now, Warren Brinson, what I got to watch his tape and just kind of coming out of Georgia and what I think he can bring to the table. I think he's a legitimate player. I would find it very difficult to imagine a world in which he came into camp and just sucked so bad that Green Bay is like, yeah, we're good. But what I will say is sixth round picks are not guaranteed. They're not a lock to make the roster. You're usually not letting go of anything fourth round or higher, at least early. A fifth rounder is a very slim odds that they get cut. But sixth and seventh rounders are within the realm of possibility. So while I very much think that Brinson's got an unbelievable chance to make the roster, there's not a ton of depth that he's battling against. But in a world where they want to keep five defensive linemen and Clark is healthy, Brooks is healthy, Wyatt's healthy, and Wooden is healthy, and Wooden continues to kind of evolve as that, you know, dual threat defensive tackle, meaning he could probably play some three techniques still, but they're training him on nose tackle now. It would really just take potentially Nasir Stackhouse to beat out Warren Brinson. And from an evaluation standpoint, there were many people who had Nasir Stackhouse evaluated higher than Warren Brinson. I was not one of them. I liked Brinson a heck of a lot more than I liked Stackhouse when I went back and watched both of their tapes. But again, if Stackhouse is just better, I don't think Green Bay is going to lose sleep over losing the sixth round pick if the undrafted guy that they got from the same college was just better. They're just going to feel like, oh, we got a great or an impressive defensive tackle from Georgia either way. And if it ends up being the undrafted guy, so be it. Again, I think very, very slim odds of that happening, but maybe not completely impossible. Defensive end would either be potentially Brenton Cox or Kingsley Enagbare. It's not going to be Gary. It's not going to be LVN. It's not going to be the two rookies. So you probably have one, maybe two spots left. And then it comes down to probably Brenton Cox or Kingsley Enagbare if there is only one spot left. I think both of them in some way would be, I guess, not surprising in the effect that if they keep five, it almost has to be one of the two that's cut. But at the same token, surprising because I don't know that anyone's really clamoring for either of these guys to be cut, which might mean that you just have to keep six defensive ends, which they did a season ago, and is also within the realm of possibility. But the fact that you do have four other players that are in complete likelihood kept, and you may only have one spot, one of them inherently could potentially be a surprise pick. I've talked to Justice about this, and I've said it before on here. I think Enagbare is in a really interesting spot. He's in the final year of his deal. He is a unrestricted free agent, and he got that incentive or that little bump in pay based on playing time incentives in his rookie contract, or just in like how the NFL runs that, where he goes up to over $3 million in salary this year. Now, Enagbare was a starter at times last year, but what I will tell you is, and I've said this, I don't know how many occasions, sometimes you have value until you kind of prove that you don't. And I don't think that's entirely the case with Kingsley Enagbare here. I still think he's a good player, more than worthy of being a rotational player on pretty much any team in this league. But if Green Bay feels like, hey, we just kind of know what we have in Enagbare and there's no upside above and beyond that, I could see a world in which they say, we've got our two big-time guys in LVN and Gary, two rookies, and then we feel like Brenton Cox might have the higher upside than Enagbare. And quite frankly, in the second half of last year, I thought Brenton Cox just outplayed Kingsley Enagbare. And if that's how Green Bay eventually feels, they might say, do we really want to spend $3 million on a sixth defensive end? And if they don't, if that's not the direction they want to go in, then I think they clearly would go in the direction of seeing if they could find a trade. But it's possible that other teams are also saying like, yeah, we would like Kingsley Enagbare, but maybe not at that $3 million price point. I think he has value. I do. I think they would get something in return. Maybe it's a swap of back end of the roster players. Maybe Green Bay gets a back of the roster corner in return, or maybe they get a conditional draft pick. I do think he would have value. But if Green Bay gets to that point and they can't find a trade, and they don't want to pay him that $3 million, they could look to renegotiate it and say, hey, we still want you, but it's got to be like $1.5 million, and maybe they can save some money that way and it makes sense for both sides. But Enagbare could say, no, I'm good. Cut me. I'll find a job somewhere else that pays more than that. And if that's the case, that's how he maybe gets to the point of being a little bit of a surprise cut. If it's not him, then maybe it could be Brenton Cox. And that is well within the realm of possibility as well. So those are both interesting scenarios, but I think inherently, again, if they only keep five, one of those is probably a cut or maybe a trade for Green Bay. All right, linebacker. This is the one where Justice Mosquito will very much enjoy this one. Is there a world in which Tyron Hopper could get released? I really, and I want to stress, really, really do not think so. I was not a fan of the draft pick in the third round. I thought it was over aggressive. I didn't love his tape coming out. I did really enjoy what I saw in OTAs and minicamp and even preseason a year ago. I like the way that he plays. Let me just give you a little bit of a thought process on this pick for Tyron Hopper. Justice and I have talked quite a bit about how it's really difficult to find modern linebackers in the current NFL and just kind of coming from college because they're playing an entirely different brand of football at the linebacker position than what you're playing in the NFL. And trying to find guys that have the right height, weight, speed, and then also can potentially take on blocks, get sideline to sideline, and even do some covering, it's a near impossibility. They're just so difficult to find. The reason I think Green Bay took Tyron Hopper in the third round last year is because they're trying to, in a way, I think, kind of manufacture this. I think they probably understood some of the deficiencies of Tyron Hopper's game coming out of college. But I think they were willing to throw a late third round pick at him thinking, listen, he has the height, he has the weight, he has the speed, he has the athleticism, he has the physicality to take on blocks, and he's got some potential coverage ability if he can kind of, you know, figure it out just a little bit more. Like, this is a modern day NFL linebacker and like sort of the body type and the prototype of what you're looking for. Like I said, there are some deficiencies in his game, but they're coachable deficiencies. So I don't think Green Bay is going to give up on that because they do understand the value of trying to find and develop a player like that. And I did see some real positive things in the offseason this last year when in camp and OTAs and minicamp, et cetera, I thought he did some really good things. And he can play on special teams in the meantime and give you some depth at a position that, again, is very difficult to find depth at. I cannot find a way in which they would just say, yeah, we just screwed this up. We're good. I think at least he gets one more season. And I want to take it even a step further than that. I think there's a better chance that Tyron Hopper competes for that starting 4-3 spot with Isaiah McDuffie than that he's released. But if you told me that there was one that was pretty surprising when we got to cutdowns, a third round pick from a year ago would still be pretty stunning. And, you know, just based on him not playing a year ago, and if he couldn't find a role on the team this year, maybe they could go in that direction. I would be pretty shocked and stunned if that's what happened. Isaiah Simmons could be, I think, another one that maybe to some would be a surprise cut. It should not be. The contract that he signed is very much a prove it to us in training camp. And if you're good enough, we'll keep you. And if not, we're going to move on. But I still think some people would be surprised by that. I expect Simmons to make the team, especially with his special teams ability. I'd be pretty surprised. I'll say that. Pretty surprised if, how would you rate those? Surprised, shocked, stunned? Surprised being the least, stunned being the most? I would be surprised if they released Isaiah Simmons, but there's certainly, based on the contract, worlds in which they do move on from him in some way. And then at safety would be Zane Anderson. Again, I'm not sure. I can't get there with Ketanji Adapo. I think he's just too talented. I don't think they could potentially cut him. Again, crazier things have happened. Fifth round pick from a season ago. And if they only wanted to keep four, they counted Bullard as a safety and they really like Zane Anderson as a special teams guy. I guess that's the multiverse in which something like that could happen. But I cannot imagine Oladapo at this point not being on the team. And again, if that's the case and you only want to keep four, then you could find yourself with Zane Anderson being the guy out. The other one I'll say here is Omar Brown. Omar Brown is a solid special teams player, and I really like him as a defensive back as well. He was somebody in college that I really liked. I was bummed when he initially did not sign with Green Bay as an undrafted free agent, but they were able to get him in eventually. And now he, I think, will have the opportunity to compete a little bit. If he can get in that special teams conversation with Zane, Omar Brown is a lot younger. He's under team control next year. There are reasons to go with Omar Brown over Zane Anderson, but Zane Anderson's a pretty core special teamer. He's going to have a real chance to make the team, and it would be somewhat of a surprise to me if Anderson was not on the roster. All right, so those are your potential surprise cuts as we would get to the end of camp. I suppose you could go like Matt Orzech if the Packers found like some sort of long snapper that they really liked that was on waivers, or same thing maybe with Daniel Whalen if he had a really rough preseason and there was another punter out there that they liked or could acquire. Again, maybe that could be the case, but I don't expect either of those things at this point in time. Let's get then to the fun part, and that is our crazy and wild trade ideas. I want to say two things about this. The first thing is, this isn't that serious. And we can, and the second thing is kind of in a way of like, we can just have fun with this. What I mean by that is, I was thinking about like just other podcasts that I listen to from a sports standpoint and what some of my favorite episodes are. I'm a big time listener. I'm so happy that he's back, of Zach Lowe, who covers the NBA, the Zach Lowe Show, formerly the Lowe Post. And my favorite episodes are when he does fake trades and just goes through the NBA and like which teams could trade which players for which players. I love it. It's just fun. 99.9% of them, I don't know if he's ever nailed the trade in its entirety, but it is fun to listen to and just kind of get your mind swirling with ideas every single time. I love it. It's must listen. So I just figured that today it would be fun to kind of go through these. The odds that any of these happen are next to zero. If you told me any of these happened, I would be pretty freaking stunned. But it's just more of a thought process. It's a idea generator. It's, if I were the GM, I would be looking through rosters and looking at, are there players that we could acquire to make this team better? What players could we potentially give up? What players could we maybe get in return? And then the other thing that I'll add on top of this too is, a lot of these I'm going to say plus a draft pick. And I may not give a specific value of a draft pick because it is impossible in these situations to get clarity or vision or just consensus on the value for these players. How you see a player and how I see a player is going to be drastically different. And we see it all the time. There are these trades that take place and you're like, that's all they got for that player, or they gave up that much for that player. And it just, there's never really a true consensus here. There's not a formula that you can type in to say this player is worth this much. So these are just fun ideas that I'm putting out there, and I'm going to range them from the one that I think is actually semi-realistic to one that like kind of makes sense in the scheme of things to three that are just mind-blowing, probably stupid, but kind of fun just to think about in a vacuum sort of standpoint. All right. So that's my disclaimer here. We'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, to drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit skeptical about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather, and before that backyard barbecue brew, the glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, do not forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use code packaday a day at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. The first one is, I think, one that I would actually really consider if I were Green Bay, and I don't think is like a ridiculous one here. And that is trading Colby Wooden plus a draft pick to the Tennessee Titans for Sebastian Joseph Day. Sebastian Joseph Day was one of the best run defenders, at least per PFF, this past year. I went and watched a little bit of the tape. I liked what he did as a run defender. I've been talking about how if Kenny goes down, I have a little bit of concern. And maybe Green Bay does too, because they're trying to cross-train Colby Wooden to be a nose tackle as well. And what I would say is like, hey, maybe instead of doing that, is there a player that you can go get that can play that and can be a good run defender? And Sebastian Joseph Day has been a good run defender in his career. He was really good last year. And I would say, can you take Colby Wooden and maybe add in like a fifth or sixth round pick is probably what I would be thinking here, and trade it for Sebastian Joseph Day. Sebastian Joseph Day is on a 1 year remaining contract. He's 30 years old and he's got $3.5 million on that contract. So it's going to be a little bit more than what you're paying Colby Wooden right now. And you're giving up a draft pick next year, which is, you know, something. And you're giving up a player who was a fourth round pick as well. Here's why I like it for both sides. There's no guarantee that Colby Wooden was going to make this roster going into the season. If Brinson and Stackhouse were just better, and Stackhouse ends up being that better nose tackle than you know Colby Wooden can be as he transitions to it, they probably just move on from Colby Wooden. In this case, it gives you a really good option in Sebastian Joseph Day to back up Kenny Clark, dispel him, to play on early downs, and let guys like Carl Brooks and Devontae Wyatt and even Kenny Clark play a little bit more on the obvious passing downs, which I think is a huge advantage. And again, give you a little bit more insurance should something happen to Kenny Clark. The other thing here is, even if Colby Wooden makes the team this year, he's not a shoo-in to make the team next year. So you could have a situation where you only get 1 year out of Colby Wooden anyway. And while the draft pick stings a little bit, you're set to probably get four comp picks. I know it won't happen until the following year or whatever, but you know, you're going to have a full slate of draft picks next year. Plus, you're going to get four comp picks the following year because you're all your free agents next year. If you wanted to trade some of those up to get into, you know, an extra pick or two in 2026, you could probably definitely do so. So I'm not losing sleep over that. And I do think you add just a better player to your team in Joseph Day this year when you're trying to compete than maybe what you would get in Colby Wooden. So again, Colby Wooden plus a late round pick for Sebastian Joseph Day. Again, 1 year, $3.5 million for Sebastian Joseph Day. And I do think he would bring a more run-stuffing presence, a little bit more insurance for Kenny Clark, and somebody that just adds a little bit more depth and experience to that defensive tackle position. And from a Titans standpoint, by the way, you're not playing for this year. What in the world does a 30-year-old defensive tackle on a one-year deal get the Tennessee Titans? It gets them nothing. So instead, you get to take a flyer on a third-year player who has a full year on his contract remaining next year, who's still very young and talented, and you get a draft pick out of it as well. Plus, you shed some salary and can kind of carry that over. This, to me, is a win for both sides. Green Bay's a little bit more in win-now mode. You're not giving up anything of significant value, but you're adding a real legitimate piece. When you look at the weaknesses of saying, the depth at corner, depending on what happens with Jair, and the depth at maybe nose tackle slash run defender. Those are the two that are maybe keeping you up a little bit more at night. This solves one of them. Maybe you just keep Jair and solve the other one, and then you go into the season with a extremely well-rounded roster. So again, Colby Wooden plus a late round pick for Sebastian Joseph Day. The next one is definitely one that is not like crazy out there, and it's been one that's been tossed around by others as well, and that is Romeo Doubs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's what I'm proposing. I'm saying if I'm going to trade Romeo, and I want to go on the record here of I would not trade Romeo. So these are thought, I'm not even necessarily, the first one I would say like, yeah, I'm all on board for. This one I'm not even necessarily a proponent of, but if they did decide that they wanted to trade Romeo and the Pittsburgh Steelers were interested, which there has been a little bit of buzz surrounding that, then yeah, I think you could probably make something work and let him go play with Aaron, who he's played with previously, give Aaron another weapon. But here's what I would want in return. I would want Corey Trice, their fourth corner right now. They've got three starters ahead of him, but I think Corey Trice is a starting caliber corner in the league. I think he had some injury issues a couple of years ago. He started to play. When he's been out there, he's been good. And I think you can find some value in Corey Trice. So I want Corey Trice plus like, probably fourth, fifth round, probably a fifth round pick if you're getting Trice as well. And, you know, would I probably just keep Doubs and, you know, get potentially comp pick? Sure. But again, you're not guaranteed to get the comp pick because you have so many players that are going to be free agents next year. And if you go out and sign free agents of your own, it could counterfeit those comp picks. So getting something in return now and getting a really nice corner to, again, your receiver core should still be good. And now you're maybe covering up a little bit for that corner room. If you move on from Jair Alexander, give yourselves a little bit more depth there. You're at least trying to fill, again, one of those potential weaknesses that you're looking at the roster. And I do like Corey Trice as a potential outside corner for Green Bay. And it just gives them a little bit more options when it comes to who they want to play on the field against specific teams, specific players, specific formations, et cetera. So Doubs for Corey Trice plus a day three pick. The only way that I would see like consider this if I were Green Bay, Golden looks like a stud. Savion Williams looks like a stud. Jaden Reed's looking really good. Dontavian Wicks is looking really good. Christian Watson is set to come back, you know, midway through the season and pick up where he left off. And I feel good about either Mecole Hardman, Malik Heath, Bo Melton, one of those guys. If all those things are hitting and I feel like I can get something for Romeo Doubs right now, then cool, you can do it. And again, if it's Pittsburgh, I'm looking for Corey Trice plus a day three pick. The next three are definitely some level of absurd. I totally understand it. Again, think of this as a fun thought experiment. And again, I'm not even saying that I'm advocating for these in particular, just tossing them out there. The first one is trading Luke Musgrave to the Atlanta Falcons for Kyle Pitts. Straight up. This is an interesting one just to talk through. They are both 25 years old. Here's the big difference. And here's why, because I think your probably initial reaction is, oh, hell yeah, if I'm Green Bay. And why in the hell would the Atlanta Falcons consider doing that? Musgrave has 41 catches for 397 yards and a touchdown in his 2 years. Kyle Pitts just this past year has 47 catches, six more than Musgrave has in 2 years, 602 yards, over 200 yards more, and four touchdowns just this past year, four times the amount that Musgrave has in two seasons. In his rookie season, Kyle Pitts had 68 catches for 1,026 yards. Okay. He has not lived up to that early first round expectation, but he has still had some solid seasons and is still a talented football player. So why would the Atlanta Falcons consider trading Kyle Pitts for Luke Musgrave? Here's the thing. Luke Musgrave has 2 years, $3.4 million remaining on his deal, $1.7 million per year. Again, they're both 25 years old. Kyle Pitts is on a $10.9 million fully guaranteed contract this year, and then is an unrestricted free agent next year. And if you want to keep him, you're going to have to pay him probably a pretty significant amount of money. Whereas again, Luke Musgrave next year makes next to nothing. That's where it gets interesting. From the Packers standpoint, you just get the better player. You get a tight end that you're basically hoping Musgrave can become as a receiving threat like Kyle Pitts. If he could become Kyle Pitts, you would be thrilled. There's no guarantee that he becomes that. Meanwhile, you get Kyle Pitts. You get a very fun receiving tight end that fits perfectly with Tucker Kraft, a unbelievable 1-2 combo, and gives you some versatility even to play him in the slot or kind of move him around and do some really fun things with him. It's a perfect tight end for Matt LaFleur, by the way, as well. Matt LaFleur will absolutely find very fun and unique and exciting ways to utilize Kyle Pitts, specifically in the red zone, but I think anywhere on the field, to be honest. I don't know if you're Green Bay, that if the Falcons called and offered it, that you could say no. Again, your best case scenario for Musgrave is that he turns into somebody like Kyle Pitts. But you do have 2 years, $3.4 million remaining on that deal. He's cheaper, and there is still a lot of upside there with Luke Musgrave. For the Falcons, again, they're probably not competing this year for anything, although they did give up their first-round pick, so maybe they don't want to exactly tank either. But they're not competing anything. There are rumors that they are willing to trade Kyle Pitts, but they probably want a weapon in exchange. And getting a former second-round pick in Luke Musgrave, who is very talented, who's really been just not on the field due to injuries, but when he's been out there, he's definitely shown those flashes, and you get him for 2 years super cheap, you save, you know, almost $8 million, I think, this year, $8.5 million this year by trading away Pitts, and you don't have to give him a huge contract next year, and you get Musgrave for nothing next year. It's an interesting one. And I think if you're the Falcons, you're both are 25 again. You're trying to open up windows down the road. You're not trying to open up a window in 2025. I could see it. I could see it making some sense for Atlanta, even though they're maybe downgrading at the position a little bit right now. I think you're getting the player that has, again, a bit of a cheaper contract, especially when you consider what he's going to get next year, meaning Pitts, and somebody that's still very talented at the position. So it's a unique one. I don't know who says no. I don't think Green Bay says no. Maybe Atlanta just gets a better offer from some other team, whether it be draft pick compensation or draft picks in a player. Maybe Green Bay would have to throw in a late round pick in order to make this happen. That could be the case. But I do wonder if, again, just based on the contracts alone, if a Musgrave for Pitts trade just straight up is kind of fair in and of itself. It's a very interesting one. Out there, ridiculous. Yes, no question about it. I would want to know, which would you rather have? Kyle Pitts, 1 year, $10.9 million, or Luke Musgrave, 2 years, $3.4 million. It's an interesting one. I think I take Pitts in that scenario, but it is a little bit of an interesting discussion. Maybe it should be obvious Pitts. Maybe that's on me. Maybe that's a ridiculous one, and it's just very clear and obvious Pitts. But maybe that's, again, me also just thinking still very highly of Luke Musgrave, and maybe that just never comes to pass. But the contract difference there is significant, to say the least. We'll be right back. Okay, so let me get this straight. You know ball, right? Well, there is only one series left in the playoffs and the championship is officially on the line, and that means that time is running out for you to put your final takes to the test on Prize Picks, the best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Now, Prize Picks is going all out for the finals in both hockey and in basketball, and there's never been a better time to get in on the action and to start winning. And right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shea will get more than 30 points? Halliburton more than 10 assists? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this postseason when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm kicking off the playoffs by going with big games from both Jalen Williams and Aaron Nesmith in the first two games of the series. And the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. All right. If you thought that one was off the wall, just buckle in. It's a completely ridiculous one, and I'm going to talk about it nonetheless. Packers and Bengals make a trade. The Packers get Trey Hendrickson plus a draft pick. Not exactly sure where that draft pick would come in, but Trey Hendrickson and a draft pick, meaning whether it be a late round pick or whatever. I'll let you choose your own adventure with that one. So Trey Hendrickson and a draft pick for Kingsley Nigbari and Zach Tom. Okay, let's play this out for just a moment, okay? The Packers are trading from an area of strength and getting in one of the best pass rushers in football. Is this a tough pill to swallow a little bit because you are trading away a young player at a premium position in the prime of their career? Absolutely. But if you're going to trade for Trey Hendrickson, you need to figure out a way that you're going to be able to pay for him. And one of the ways to do that is by not having to pay Zach Tom. You're probably going to have to pay them similar contracts, right? Probably over a similar period of time. Hendrickson's probably going to want a 4-year deal, probably around that $30 million per year. And Zach Tom's probably going to want a 4-year deal, probably around $28 million per year. And so that is sort of your way of being able to bring in Trey Hendrickson without having to, you know, lose it, you know, or give him a huge salary plus give Zach Tom a huge salary. All right. So that's piece one of it is that's how you pay for Trey Hendrickson. I also would argue that if you look at sort of the trajectory for Trey Hendrickson and look at players like, you know, whether we want to say Reggie White or even Julius Peppers when they brought him in, Hendrickson should have 4 years, you know, good years remaining, including two really, really good ones, and then two that are still more than solid. And Zach Tom, you're probably signing into that 4-year deal and then probably get to that third contract again where Green Bay tries to shy away from those anyway. So yes, Zach Tom is younger and in the prime of his career, but you probably get 4 years out of both of them almost no matter what. So, and they're probably great years for both players over that 4-year period of time. I'm a little bit less concerned about the age in this situation. Enagbare is a throw-in to give them an extra pass rusher because they lose Hendrickson, and you don't have any room for Enagbare anymore because you're bringing in Trey Hendrickson. So Enagbare is basically a throw-in here. This equates to Tom for Hendrickson. I think that Green Bay is the one that gets a pick in return here because Zach Tom is the younger player in this scenario. And you do pay him probably just slightly less than what you would pay Trey Hendrickson. And then, so I think you get a fourth round pick. So we'll say Hendrickson and a fourth for Enagbare and Zach Tom. How this would affect the Packers just on the field as we look at this year, next year, right? On the defensive side of the ball, you now have Trey Hendrickson and Rashawn Gary at defensive end, Kenny Clark and Devontae White on the interior, and you have a game wrecker, a game changer at the defensive end position that was literally, quite arguably, the best pass rusher in football a year ago. That's going to add a ton to your defense. From the Packers' offensive line standpoint, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Elgton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard. Let your first round pick from a season ago and your second round pick this year battle it out at right tackle. Yeah, those should be two pretty good options. Those are two premium draft selections. And whoever doesn't win that, you still have the other one on your bench as a depth piece. So I don't love, again, trading away one of these offensive linemen because I just think it really significantly, you know, affects your depth is probably the biggest issue that I have. But from a starting standpoint, I think you can still have a very good offensive line. It sucks losing Zach Tom. Trust me when I say I'm not a proponent of trading away Zach Tom in any real way. I'm just saying it's an interesting one in which you get maybe the best pass rusher in football, supercharge your defense, and I still think have a really good offensive line with good weapons, and you get bigger. If Green Bay is really looking at getting bigger along the offensive line, well, going to Belton at right tackle and having what Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elgton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and Anthony Belton on that line, you just got a lot bigger. You could even go Morgan at left tackle, let Rashid Walker be the swing tackle if you want. There's a lot of options still there, and I don't necessarily hate it. Again, would I probably do it? Probably not. Am I a proponent of trading away Zach Tom? Definitely not, but it's definitely an interesting one. So Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare for Trey Hendrickson and a fourth round pick. And then last but not least, if you thought that one was not crazy enough, how about this one? If you, again, I'm getting crazier here. So bear with me. Zach Tom plus Lucas Van Ness plus a probably day one draft pick to the Dallas Cowboys for Micah Parsons. Okay. This one's tougher, I even think, than the last one. Not from even Green Bay's standpoint, from if you're looking at it from Dallas's standpoint. I don't think they have any real desire to trade away Micah Parsons, but the Cowboys are weird with contract stuff. They've already given Prescott a huge deal. They've given CeeDee Lamb a huge deal. And now do they want to continue to do it with Micah Parsons as well? I think the answer is just yes. And I think they figure out that and get that done in some way. We do know there's that Jordan Love, Micah Parsons connection as well. So maybe Love can put in a good word. But if he would become available, this would be an interesting offer to make to Dallas. Here's one problem with it. The Cowboys have invested pretty heavily in tackle already. They spent a first-round pick on Tyler Guyton a year ago, and they put some pretty big money already into their former undrafted free agent at right tackle, whose name is Tyler Steele, right? It's I think it's Tyler Steele, something to that effect. That's his name's escaping me at the moment. And that's going to bug me, so now I have to look it up. Terrence Steele is what's going to be. I haven't looked it up yet. Terrence Steele is what it's going to be at right tackle. Yes, Terrence Steele, number 78. He, again, was a former undrafted free agent. So they've invested some money in him. They've invested a first-round pick in Tyler Guyton. They also have a first-round pick in Tyler Smith at left guard, a third-round pick in Cooper Beebe at center, and a first-round pick in Tyler Booker at right guard. Now, the truth is that Steele has not exactly lived up to expectation, and Tyler Guyton did not have a great year as a rookie. So you could say, hey, we're going to take Terrence Steele and Tyler Guyton, let them fight it out at left tackle. Meanwhile, add one of the best right tackles in football to the right side of the line, and then have what could be one of the best interiors in football in Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, and Tyler Booker on the interior, Zach Tom at right tackle, and then again, let those other two players fight it out for left tackle. It's not the worst idea in the world, and you're still getting an unbelievably talented offensive lineman in Zach Tom. Part of the problem here is, again, they have some investments at offensive tackle already. The second thing is, if they're not willing to pay Micah Parsons a huge deal, are they willing to give Zach Tom a huge deal? Adding in LVN certainly would help. They did just draft Donovan Ezeraku in the first round or second round this year. Dante Fowler Jr. is still there. They've got a couple other players, but they would certainly want something to help make up for the loss of Micah Parsons as a pass rusher. And that way they get LVN and they're getting a draft pick from Green Bay. I would say probably a second or third rounder. Maybe I don't think you can give up a first in that scenario if you're giving up Zach Tom and LVN, but well, maybe it's even a third rounder since you are giving up some pretty talented players there. So Zach Tom, LVN, and third rounder for Micah Parsons. Again, on the offensive side of the ball, you have Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan, and then you have Belton and Morgan probably battle it out for right tackle. And then on the defensive line, you lose LVN, but you've now got Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons coming off the edge. Imagine Micah Parsons in a Jeff Hafley defense. Imagine that the horrible, awful things that he would be able to do to opposing quarterbacks. Now imagine Micah Parsons and Edgerrin Cooper on the same defense, Quay Walker, like just freaks flying around. And then Isaiah Simmons in there. Like, imagine your NASCAR package, by the way. Like, just put Devontae Wyatt as like a stand-up defensive tackle dancing around everywhere. And then imagine your five linebackers that you have out there. You could literally put like, you could even put Rashawn Gary over center if you wanted as your first guy. Let's do that. Let's put Rashawn Gary over center as our first guy. And then our five guys standing up are going to be Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Isaiah Simmons, Colin Oliver, and Micah Parsons. Just dudes flying the you know what around. That would be very, very fun. But just in general, Micah Parsons and a Jeff Hafley defense would be nuclear, like just absolutely nuclear. I'm all in on it. I'm willing to give up a little bit more, even if it's a second. I don't think I can give up a first, but if it's a second plus LVN plus Zach Tom, I'm probably in. I'm going to trust Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton at right tackle, and I'm going to take on Micah Parsons and just go out and try to be the absolute best defense in football. Completely unthinkable. Absolutely. Ever going to happen? Absolutely not. Fun to think about. Sure. Why not? So those are my completely crazy off the wall trade ideas that will never, ever happen. So you don't need to fret about it. You don't need to tell me that you're glad I'm not the GM or how much of an idiot you think I am. I promise. I already know. These are just fun thought experiments. I would love to know, number one, what's your favorite? Number two, which one you think I'm completely off my rocker for? And then, anything else you want to comment, I guess I'll take that as well. But I'd be interested. Which ones of these are you most interested in? So I'll run through them one more time. Colby Wooden plus a draft pick for Sebastian Joseph Day. I think that's, again, a very mild and calm trade. Romeo Doubs for Corey Trice plus a day three draft pick, probably, again, fourth, fifth rounder. Luke Musgrave for Kyle Pitts straight up. Zach Tom and Kingsley Nagbare for Trey Hendrickson and like a fourth round pick. And then Zach Tom, LVN, and a second or third round pick for Micah Parsons. Those are my crazy ideas. Hope you guys enjoyed them. Hope you hated them, somewhere in between. It's all good. Just for fun, just for entertainment purposes today. I'll see you guys right back here tomorrow. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, and Pack Attack Cast. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.